You're listening to Rambling Business, the only multimedia podcast with Rick and Brandon,
where we get into your business no matter where it is.
And today we're talking about how to be or not to be in the restaurant industry. We drive up north from Sonoma to the great state of Oregon.
Oh, they know for the oregano?
I don't think that's...
No, that's not where it came up, the name?
I don't know, actually. But I don't think so.
Somebody was cooking on a chuck wagon. I'm sure that's a... You know, they said, I need more oregano.
That's an Italian spice.
Oh.
We're not stopping at just any Oregon town, but the town known for its Shakespearean festival, Ashland.
And you've been there.
Oh, I've been there. Went up to visit... I know a lot of actors because I used to be a drama major.
That's right.
Here, Rick and Judy met Andy Card of Oberon's Restaurant, a Shakespeare reference, and learned how Andy and his wife, Sasha, transformed the restaurant to fit in with the Shakespearean culture. Also coming up are our tax tips and our travel tips. Stay tuned.
So the original Oberon, now, where's the reference to Shakespeare that you know much
Midsummer
more
Night's Dream.
Really? So yeah, I saw that play at least two or three times.
I think that's the Fairy King.
Oh.
Titania and Oberon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, it was started by proprietors who were bohemian in nature. This traveling tavern migrated to Shakespearean festivals in a wooden trailer offering sausages and beer.
Oh, yeah.
Which seemed to come straight from the Renaissance.
Yep. That's in a wooden wagon.
I know. There'd be somebody with lute playing, the hammered dulcimer. You know, yeah. It'd be great. These guys loved traveling to these festivals and created a cult following wherever they went. I guess it wouldn't be a Shakespearean festival without the Oberon trailer, mm-hmm. You know, showing up, right? But they leveraged this fame.
Yeah, they framed it out in order to build the wooden.
That's right. They opened up a brick-and-mortar tavern in the same atmosphere of Oregon's Shakespearean capital, Ashland.
Mm-hmm.
But that was different. It's a different kind of game than moving around, because now people are coming to you. You're not going to people like it was before. You know. So they sold it in May of 2016 to Andy and Sasha. Now, Andy grew up in Ashland, so that was a big plus right there.
Yeah, locals know the best things and how to start businesses and the local ins and outs. You
it's
know?
Not like they sold some accountant from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Right. And that's, I wouldn't know what to do with it, you know. But now Andy's background was that of an MBA. He got a degree. He also studied in Germany, and he worked at Universal Music Group.
So he probably knows sausages because he studied in Germany.
I never thought about that. Yeah. You're right. I didn't ask
him. Sausage capital of the world, right?
I don't know. I never met the sausage capital of the world.
Our sausages are the worst. WURST.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That's good. Sasha also had an MBA in finance and worked in an accounting firm. And her family owned restaurants in India where she trained in that industry.
Great.
This is like a match made in heaven.
It is.
So,
like sausages and grilled onions.
Right. That's right.
And a little hot mustard.
Right. There it is. So they had a vision. And what they wanted to do and did is they upgraded the restaurant to a professional level of service. So it wasn't like a traveling tavern that was surrounded by brick walls.
Mm-hmm.
It was different. And I walked in there. There's pictures on our website, ramblingbusiness.com, that we have pictures of inside the restaurant. Really cool. Really cool place. They redesigned and rebranded the menu. The current menu was Renaissance, but the quality needed to be improved. So they wanted to bring in new things. And one of them was like this pesto grilled cheese sandwich. That sounds good?
That sounds delicious.
I know. Now, see? That has basil in it.
No, yeah.
Well, that's
not oregano.
That's Italian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's claiming that pesto isn't Italian?
Oregano, Oregon.
Just because it's in Oregon doesn't mean they own the intellectual
property. We're already there, the basil. They must have oregano. All right. And they named the state after
the spice.
I'm sure
they're the same. I'm sure they're the same plant.
I'm sure I'm right. I'm sure this will be on Wikipedia someday.
Yeah.
It'll be citing this podcast.
Oh, no. We're the misinformation font.
False news. So they also partner with blogs and the Oregon Shakespearean community there. And they did something different, though. They added this. Now, remember I said about the lutes and the hammer dulcimer and all that? Well, they brought in things like burlesque bingo. I have no idea what that is, but
burlesque bingo?
I think this is burlesque. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't hear him right, but I thought he said burlesque bingo.
Well,
or borlesque bingo. Less than boars. I don't know. No, boars.
That's when you check off something each time an item of clothing comes off, depending on what item of clothing. Right? Burlesque is like a striptease.
People are going to be flying all over the world to play a striptease bingo. Yep. I have no idea what this is.
Another font of misinformation.
No, it's terrible. That's us. That's right. Only come to us for half the facts.
Yeah.
Half the facts.
Mostly tax facts.
That's right. They also had other unique shows, traveling bands that would come in. And they had this like I said, this great decor. They really look cool. And they have all these other events that they would just constantly have entertainment. So they had food and entertainment in this entertainment capital of Oregon.
Yeah, so people want to continue being entertained. They just saw a Shakespeare play or three.
Right.
And yeah, why not keep the entertainment going?
So the question is, why Ashland? Well, he was saying that it has a small town feel, but they have international people come in. Now they're all coming in for the burlesque show, right? Burlesque bingo. Now, but they have
guest directors and everything.
And they have 200,000 tourists a year there. That little town,
yeah. And isn't that amazing? Remember, it's pretty small.
And there's lots of community involvement, and it has an ordinance. Now we've heard this before: an ordinance against national chains. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot.
You can only
buy
locally made chains.
Oh, I know what it was.
Chainmail. You can only buy locally made chainmail.
That's right. I think it was the historical part of Flagstaff and Route 66. They had the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of them.
No chains.
Yeah, a lot of places have that to keep. You don't want to replace a mom and pop diner with a Taco Bell or something.
Yeah.
That would make it seem less like Main Street.
But they also had an overall business strategy, too, on how they were going to run the business. First, that they divided, Andy and Sasha divided the work between them so that they would not get burned out on the floor.
So they would both do financial stuff and switch off going on the floor?
Yes.
So, yeah.
I guess that's what he was getting to, because you've worked in a restaurant. I've worked in a restaurant, and it's very, how many miles do you walk?
Oh,
you walk
so
a
many.
Lot of miles. And so... They knew that, because Sasha was in the restaurant industry and they knew that kind of thing. They live the passion. This is not just, okay, we got to go to work, but we're going to live this passion. And so you put this all together and they have this very unique restaurant in this very unique town run by very unique people.
If you want to find out more about the restaurant, you can look it up at www.oberonsashland.com. That's OBERONS Ashland. For those who aren't big Shakespeare buffs or fairy buffs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the S is there for Shakespeare.
Yeah. Oberon Shakespeare Ashland.
You're listening to Rambling Business. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Rick E. Norris and Accountancy Corporation. If you'd like to get the full experience, check out our website for videos, music, pictures, takeaways, and travel tips. www.ramblingbusiness.com.
Now it's time for our tax tales, where we tell you about strange and unusual taxes from the past and the present.
Tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales, tax tales.
Tax tales. Oh, woo.
So as an old drama major,
you're not that old.
Well, right. Someday.
I'm the one who looks like Santa Claus.
I will. I have a huge beard, so and I'm sure it'll go white because my temple's already going gray.
Oh, okay.
Silvery.
Distinguish.
Like a silverback. But actors love to express themselves, and they often like to express themselves with out there body art and jewelry. But if you want to express yourself with altering your bodily appearance with tattoos or body piercing, you may want to avoid doing it in the state of Arkansas, because they charge an additional 6% tax on tattoos, body piercings, and electrolysis.
Electrolysis?
That's like hair removal, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's right.
That's a way of altering your appearance.
Yeah, I guess. Is it because they're so bad at it?
I don't know. Maybe they're
you shouldn't
so,
do it in Arkansas.
Maybe they're so good at it and they charge by the hour that they get it done real quick.
Well, don't tell your sister because she, you know, she got her nose studs
here
in California. Thank God she didn't go to Arkansas.
Yeah. They might have taken all our hair off.
For 6%.
Yeah. Now it's time for our travel tip, where we tell you what fun things you can do around the Ashland area.
When in Ashland, visit Lithia Park. Now, your mom and I kind of fell into it. Really?
You tripped and fell into a park?
Actually, yeah, we fell into the park. I fell into the pond. But actually, what attracted me to it is that there was a celloist, and I'm trying to think what else the guy was playing. Was it a banjo? I don't remember what it was. But anyway, it was really neat. I heard the music. And you walk out of Ashland, where the downtown where the theater is, and you go, I guess it would be going west, southwest, guess south, southwest, and towards the hills. And it's a narrow park that you're following a creek. Mm-hmm. And there's a pond. There's I think, a couple ponds there. There's a big duck pond there that we were by. And I found out that it was haunted.
By what?
Ghost ducks.
That's okay. Right.
I don't know. At night, a blue mist sometimes appears over the pond very
suddenly,
and then disappears.
So it's the ghost of fog that used to be there.
That's right.
That's very right. Scary.
It is. I mean, just think what they could do to your metal piercings.
Yeah.
You get it, could rust them.
Everyone knows ghost mist rusts faster
That's
than
right.
normal.
Then you should go to Arkansas.
Yeah. You'll have to Arkansas them off because they're rusted. Okay. Now it's time for our takeaways, where we tell you what steps you can take to implement what we've been talking about on the podcast. And the first thing to think about is you have to know your market. Don't move into a new town without understanding the dynamics of that industry. Andy grew up in Ashland, and he knew the layout, which is why he was able to, you know, do the restaurant a little more successfully than people who had just moved in who didn't know the area.
Like an accountant from Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Number two, do a break-even analysis on all dishes. Now, this is something with restaurant clients that I've had in the past, is that you have to cost every dish, and it's very tedious. And the reason why is because that's where you know where the profits are. You lose money. And I remember one of the things that I learned as an accountant in advising people is that you weigh all your proteins. Mm-hmm. So if you're selling a 5-ounce steak or a 7-ounce steak, the sous chef should weigh them. Don't just kind of eyeball it, because that 1 ounce will take away your profit margin. And you know what the profit?
If it's a 7-ounce steak and you're cutting an 8-ounce, that's like a seventh, right?
Right. That's right. Well, you know what? You know what the average restaurant margin is?
I know it's small, but I don't know the real
4.5%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that so amazing? if you're adding an extra
ounce,
an extra ounce, that's going to cut into it. Yeah.
Gone.
The next thing to think about is you have to promote the establishment in media. With pictures.
Yeah.
So, especially nowadays when everything is online and there's no cost to, you know, sending in pictures and whatever, you have to have, good social media presence and basically put out information when you first open to local newspapers.
Yeah. The next is negotiate with vendors for terms. Now, this is a sign of a good business person. Now, you know, we're all vendors. We're all providing services or products to each other. And if you are a business and you have maybe your seasonal or your cash flow goes a certain way, you may be able to negotiate with people you're doing business with, and they'll probably be amenable. I mean, if you say, you know, can I pay you in 10 days and you pay them in 10 days, that's fine. If you say, can I pay you in 10 days and then you don't pay them for 30 days, that's not fine.
Yeah, that's when it gets bad. The last thing to think about is you have to use your resources wisely, and in tough times, don't show desperation. Customers can sense that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I have found that I see desperation is when I talk to people who are trying to sell something, and they come down on the price real fast
as
I start walking away. You know, of course, that happens at Tijuana all the time because they start off at 200% of what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
Now it's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. We got an email from Gina who asks, I went to open a new bank account for my corporation and found out it was suspended for not filing some state annual report. I filed our corporate tax return. Why are they not letting me do it?
Because you're dealing with the government.
Yep.
You know, there's this, Gina, there's this this statement that you have to file with probably every state. It's in California, it's called Secretary of State. Others are called disclosures. Delaware has them that are like annual information things.
Yeah, and if Delaware has them, they're like the cushiest pro-business thing.
That's right.
Probably every other state.
And you know, it's very simple. They just want to know who your directors and officers are and where their addresses are. You know, this, it's an information thing. And you usually get a postcard in the mail or something that alerts you when you're supposed to file it, because usually it's different for every business. It depends when you incorporate. So you have to be very careful, because like in California, if you don't file it and you don't pay the $25, you get a $200 penalty.
Oh, geez.
And the same thing in Delaware. It's hundreds of dollars of penalties if you don't do that. So it's very important to stay up on this non-tax filing, because if you don't, it's not only going to cost you, but it makes your company suspended, and then you can lose it. And banks won't do business for you. Even other businesses won't do business for you, because you're not a legal entity at that point.
That's all we have for this week. Tune in next week when we're going to stick around in Ashland and maybe see some plays.
Or ghosts.
Or ghost plays. Plays about ghosts. Macbeth. We got to it. I'm Brandon.
This is Rick. And thank you for letting us get into your business, no matter where it is.
Our music and podcast was produced by my brother, Devin S. Norris. For all your music composition and podcast needs, check out www.devinsnorris.com.